Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Get your Bible. I'm not going to do what I had prepared to do this morning because it's hugely technological, but I could do it, and I thought about just doing it without the technology, but then I thought, you know what? I'll just wait till next week, and I wanted to do something that actually I've been wanting to do for decades. So I thought, well, we'll just do it today. As a young Christian, certain things happen in my life, and I think you can remember them in yours. Tom, are you recording this, by the way? Good, thank you. That just had a dynamic impact and life-changing for my Christian life and my Christian walk. And of all the books I've read as a Christian, on the top five, and probably number two to the Bible, second to the Bible itself, that impacted my life in over 40 years as a Christian, was a book called Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs. Many of you have heard about it. It's a classic. But unfortunately, it really has to be the edition that I have, because I picked up other editions of Fox's because it's over 100 years old. There's a lot of different copies of it, and they are boring. Mine actually has lithograph pictures, graphic pictures of people being tortured and martyred for their faith and stuff. And at first, it was really hard for me to read this book because it doesn't go into hugely graphic detail, but it goes into detail about the stories and the testimonies of these Christians over the centuries, from the early apostles all the way into the 1500s, that gave their life for Christ. But it also talked about other aspects of their life, and one of the things that always impressed me was it talked about in the 1300s, 1400s, 1500s, the church used to gather together, oftentimes in small little groups, and they would, you know, this is before people had Bibles, like all of you have a Bible in front of you. I hope you have a Bible in front of you right now, and turn to the book of Philippians, by the way. And so they didn't have Bibles, and oftentimes people had handwritten copies of certain books of the Bible. And so, like, I might have a copy of the book of Philippians, let's say, and you may have a copy of the book of Jonah or Genesis or whatever, and we would get together and share verbally our copies and read our copies together. And so that's what I want to do. I want to really just kind of take this opportunity that has gone so crazy with technology, but also just to take it and go back to the simplicity of the Word of God and the simplicity of the earlier church and the ancient church and how they often just worshiped together. They didn't have a pastor in a pulpit all the time in front of them. A lot of these are rural Christians and rural communities. They didn't get in their car and go to church. Church was miles away, and it may be very difficult for them to get there. So they would gather together in small little communities, maybe in homes, and they would just read the scriptures. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to read the entire book of Philippians together this morning. And so what I'd like you to do, though, as I'm reading chapter 1, because what we're going to do, now, I don't know that they did this, by the way, but what I feel impressed to do is do what I do in my devotions with you together this morning, is I want you to, as we read chapter 1 and each chapter, we're going to pause and just take a time of reflection, meditation, and prayer. And so as I'm reading chapter 1, I believe the Lord will speak to you and kind of put his finger and highlight a certain phrase or word or sentence or verse. And that particular highlight that the Holy Spirit communicates to you, hold on to that, maybe underline it or whatever, because you're going to take that and just in a personal, quiet, meditational moment, maybe a minute or two, after I read chapter 1, we're just going to take time to just quietly, personally pray that back to the Lord. Respond. It may be a thing of thanking Him for something. It may be a thing of a truth that you're just going, oh, Lord, I'm just so amazed that this tells me about You something. Or it may be something that you're hanging on to and you say, Lord, I need to claim that promise for my life. Or I need to claim that promise for this per need or person that I know needs. Okay? So, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. And so, Lord, we take time now to ponder what we've just heard and read. And, Lord, to present our prayer back to you in response. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So they didn't know this, but I thought I'd break this up instead of me just reading the whole book and kind of disperse this amongst my leadership. So I'd like Lori to come on up, and I'll have her read chapter 2 for you. There we go. It was left on, I think. And then I'm going to have Suzette read chapter 4 and Tom read chapter 4.
Oh, man.
3, I'm sorry. Tom's going to read chapter 3 and Suzette's going to read chapter 4.
You guys all got warnings. I didn't. Chapter 2 of Philippians. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me.
Praise the Lord. Let's take a moment and take that point that the Lord impressed and pray it back to him in response. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being confirmed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself.
Lord, we come now and pause and reflect upon that which you have put your finger on in your word in this chapter 3.
Chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious or fearful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now that I seek the gift, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Lord, we take time to ponder and pray over that which you have presented to our hearts in chapter 4 of this wonderful book, Philippians, Lord. Lord, your word is precious to us. Lord, we don't want to be like that one in that is mentioned in the book of James, chapter 1, that's a hearer of the word only, but not a doer of the word. What have you spoken to our hearts and minds today, Lord, and encouraged us, Lord, so that we might do your word? Lord, help us to remember those things that you have prompted upon our hearts through your precious word. Lord, help us to focus on these things, Lord, that you want to speak to us personally today from this book of Philippians. Lord, you have spoken many things to many people. If we were to take an inventory today, I'm sure that not too many of us would have a duplicated verse. But you have spoken a word, a phrase. You have highlighted by the power of your Holy Spirit those things that you personally want to remind us about, want to rehearse in our memory, want us to rejoice and to reflect upon and to respond to you in some way. And so, Lord, we pray that your word that does not return void might accomplish its good work and its will in our lives. And, Lord, that you would do great and mighty things through the power of this time that we've had in the presence of God together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.